This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and I've got my good friend Ron Hutchcraft on the line from Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. We're going to be talking about reflecting Jesus during the holidays. And Ron, you know, we're heading into yet another holiday season that's pretty rife with divisions of all different kinds. And I'm kind of looking, and I'm sure a lot of people are too, how do we possibly navigate this holiday season with possibly divided family gatherings? How do we do that and not bring shame or not bring shame, but not hinder the name of Christ in the process?
Well, that is a great question. And of course, the first big question is, what will we be eating for Thanksgiving? Well, it might be peanut butter and jelly if we can't find a turkey, right? So we have new issues, and that is hoping that the food gets there for our celebrations. You know, you asked, you referenced without maybe even realizing it, a great verse that gives us a foundation for dealing with this. And, you know, we already know that family are the hardest people to share Christ with. They know all about us, of course. And then the fact that things are so polarized, so tribalized, it's a cancel culture, and it is the hot buttons are so hot and so sensitive that even the saying of the wrong word can add to controversy. But there's a great verse in 1 Corinthians 8:12, and Paul was talking about one of the controversial issues of that day, and he came down to this bottom line. He said, we will put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. I love that because he's saying, you know what? There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of controversy. We could argue about these things, but for me, I don't want to get distracted from my real mission. My real assignment is not to win an argument, but to win a heart. And to win that heart for the good news of Jesus Christ. So to allow myself to be dragged into lesser battles, lesser issues, perhaps important, but not that will affect the eternity of someone I love. There's only one issue that is going to decide their eternity, and that's your Jesus. So, and it's interesting that the Bible, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let them see your light, and they will then ultimately glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So they're going to have to believe in a Christian that they can see, perhaps before they'll believe in a Christ they can't see. You need to be that Christian. So in my own heart, I got to have this settled, that me acting like, making them feel like Jesus would, in my tone, in what I will allow myself to be dragged into as far as conversation, I need to keep in mind that the main thing is I want to represent Jesus to them. He really is the core issue. Now, I did write down some key words that I think might help us here. One is the word release. There's an old cliche, but a lot of cliches have a lot of truth in them. Let go. And let God. And sometimes we get so tense about family gatherings and family conversations, and maybe because of history. And we begin to take it into our own hands instead of saying, Lord, first of all, I want to release this relationship, this conversation, this holiday gathering. And so I would say after release is relax. Relax in the sovereignty of God over everything you've just released to him. And to be able to go into it relaxed instead of tensed up and kind of like, there's going to be a battle. I better be ready for it. I think if you can release the entire conversation and the relationship to his leadership, I think you're in a much better place, which of course is going to lead me to the word pray. And so how do I pray? Well, I would say that the three open prayer that we've talked about before is a wonderful prayer to pray for family occasions or places where there might be opportunity to somehow bring up your relationship with Jesus. Is a great prayer to pray. It's based on Colossians 4, 3 and 4, where Paul said, pray for us that God may open a door for us, that we may declare the mystery of Christ and declare it clearly as we should. So the three open prayer coming out of that is this, Lord, open a door. A door is a natural opportunity for you to reference your relationship with Jesus. It could be something going on in their life, your life, or the world right now. Secondly, Lord, open their heart. I pray somehow, Lord, you might do some things in their life that would get them to a point where they might be more open than they have been in the past. Lord, open their heart. The last one is, Lord, open my mouth. That might be the toughest one. Lord, give me the courage, give me the words, give me the approach. Lord, open my mouth. Another word is the word tone. It is, someone has said that 80% of communication is tone. I could say the same thing to you with three different tones, and I could make you feel cared about, angry, rejected, all because of the way I said it. And it's interesting that that we have some scripture to help us again with this. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Well, grace makes room for the other person, allows them a lot of slack, always full of grace, so you may know, if you decide you're going to do grace talk, so you may know how to answer everyone. Well, there's like, how am I going to know what to say? Well, make the decision that whatever you say is going to be seasoned with grace and full of grace. Peter, of all people, the ear surgeon who tried to cut off a guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, years later, he's apparently grown and mellowed, and he writes in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And here's the tone, with gentleness and respect. I tell you, I see online and I hear in a lot of our Christian communication, I don't hear gentleness. I don't hear respect. I hear anger. I hear pride. I hear judgment. And this is, how should a person feel when you have been with them, if you are a follower of Christ? Well, they should feel like they've been treated gently, like they're fragile, because we all are, and they feel respected, even though they might not agree with what you had to say. So release it, go prayed up, consider your tone, and then look for common ground. Instead of looking for what you disagree on, look for common ground. Is there something in what they have said that you could affirm? It might be only 10% of what they said, but whether it's to say, I appreciate the way you think through things. I appreciate the fact that you're keeping up on the way you keep up on things that are going on in our country or in the world. Find something that you can affirm. I'm going to give you one last word, and it's the word focus. Stay focused on being a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And Romans chapter 12 says, as much as it is up to you, live at peace with everyone. Now, obviously, you can't do anything about their side of it. This is as much as it's on your end, you keep it peaceful. And if I could go back to what Paul said, we'll put up with anything rather than get between you and Jesus, hinder the gospel of Christ. I would say that you really do not allow yourself to be dragged into the issues that are dividing and polarizing people. Many of them are political. Some of them are medical. These are things that have gotten larger than the importance of the relationship. And the person matters so much more than their position. That's where winning the heart instead of winning the argument becomes very important. And I would prefer to just say, you know, there's a lot of different views on that, and there's a lot of different information that contradicts, and I just prefer not to, join in that conversation. I am glad, however, about something I read in the Bible, which says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. That's Proverbs 19:21. And, you know, guys, I am just glad that above all this conflict and mayhem and confusion, I'm just very grateful that there's a God whose purposes are still on track. And I'm glad for that. I would really try to redirect it. I also would tell your loved ones that these are things that you pray about because you know they're important, but that you value relationships too much to get involved in a lot of conversation about them. You are conversing about them, but with the one who can really affect them, who's the God who's in charge of it all.
That's awesome. I love it when you answer my second question before I have to ask it, because I was going to ask you for some practical examples and you did that perfectly. So thank you.
I knew you were going to, I'm not going to get away with just that theory. I know that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, as we get this information to people and they're preparing and they're, you know, praying and getting ready for these types of things. Are there any other resources that Ron Hutchcraft Ministries has to help them further prepare and get even more ready?
You know, a couple that I would really recommend, and you can, these are available at our website, Hutchcraft. That's Hutch like a rabbit house, craft like building them, hutchcraft.com. And there's a couple of eBooks there. They're, of course, no charge. One is called A Lifetime's Not Enough. You might remember there's an old Michael W. Smith song. It says, a lifetime's not enough. The friends are friends forever. And when it's somebody you love, you really want them to be with you and have eternal life. So the subtitle is How to Spend Forever with the People You Love. Title of the ebook, A Lifetime's Not Enough. And one that obviously is very seasonal is just called Thanks Living. And it's Thanksgiving time. But there's some very practical tips on the very positive and magnetic lifestyle that I call Thanks Living.